Thank you so much for coming on to Our Mirror's Reflections. You are such a breath of fresh air. I read your bio. I read some of your story. And I just have to tell you, the young people, the young women, the women out there need to hear a bit of your journey. And I know you grew up in Chicago, and I want to start with that. I want you to start a little bit first about your bio, where you're from, and then I want us to dive into it.
I am a therapist, a licensed professional counselor. I'm a national certified counselor. I have my master's in counseling and my bachelor's in psychology. I have been practicing therapy for about 17 years now, and I've been in private practice for 8 years. In that, I began teaching at Lyndon Wood University. I teach sociology of family. I started writing a very, very long time ago. I think I won my first young authors contest in fourth grade.
Wow.
But writing was my therapy. And then shortly after some life changes, I decided that it was time for me to write an autobiography. So in that, I just began writing my story. So currently, I practice independently. I have anywhere between 27 and 30 clients that I see weekly. In addition to that, I have a blog in which I, you know, give information about the unexpected of marriages. So I do counsel couples a lot, as well as individuals and families and youth, a lot of youth. And I just kind of take the knowledge that I have from my personal professional life and try to put it in a book, you know, give it to people that can utilize it and, you know, piggyback off of or to go back to it if they're having a day or if they just need some type of reflection and are not quite ready for counseling.
Right.
If that makes sense. And a lot of this was provoked by my passion, which was, you know, my story. I live in transparency. I feel like it's important to share what's real with people.
Amen.
People want things that they can relate to, and they want things that they can touch and that they can feel. And I use a lot of my life experiences to do that for other people. And that's where my book comes in, because a lot of times I was making decisions and choices that were working against me, and I needed to understand that. And with my clinical background, I was able to sit back and look at myself and look at what I was doing to contribute to my own misery, shall I say, and unhappiness. So I started from the beginning, which was my childhood. I needed to make sense of some things, and I needed to organize it. And so as I started doing that, I kept a journal throughout my entire life. But when I started trying to organize what I was doing in my 30s and in my late 20s, it just began to flow like a book. And so my first book was published in 2012. And it was basically just how I organized my thoughts in order to make sense of the choices that I was making at that time in my life. And then I was like, well, you know what? I think a lot of people went through a lot of this, and some people may have gone through this, especially with the journey of going to college, leaving the inner city and having to transition to a world that's predominantly white and not really learning how to, you know, how to navigate.
Right.
And what happens when you don't successfully navigate, you know, you can either sink or swim. Right. And that's where my second book comes in. I talk about that sink or swim that I went through with leaving Chicago and transitioning to a new culture that I knew nothing about and doing that with a 2-year-old. So
that's tough. Let me ask you something. What was it like growing up as a little girl in Chicago for you?
It was a lot of, it's a lot. It was fun. It was sad. It was angry. It was what considered typical or normal for us. You know, like I never considered our family poor because everyone in our block or in our town, whatever, we were part of the same culture. Right. So we were never made to feel like we were less than or had less than, or, you know, or were worse than, or anything of that nature. I would say for me, it was more of an emotional roller coaster because I was very angry. And I didn't realize that anger until I was older, what that was about. But for the most part, we had a lot of fun. I have cousins, and, you know, when you're kids, you just kind of create your own rules, and, you know, you can kind of have this conversation and communication with each other that nobody else can understand. So we had our culture. And that part was fun for me. My family is fun. We get together and have a lot of fun. But when when we're not fun, we're dangerous.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's scary.
That's the part that's scary with family, right?
That's the part that's scary. Yeah. Because we hurt each other a lot. That part was very scary, you know, witnessing fights, you know, sometimes people being under the influence of alcohol or drugs and, that part can be very scary and have an impact on you, because some of that you take out to the streets and you tend to do it yourself and the cycle never stops. So.
That's tough. And I think we've all have faced that, and we could all relate to that in some way, in our families. What was it like, and you and I share this in common, what was it like being a young mother and how did it shape you into the woman you are today?
It was very tough being a young mother because when I became pregnant, and again, it was kind of like this generational curse because my grandmother had my mom at a young age. My mom had her first child at a young age. And then here I am, you know, doing the same thing. And there was a lot of stereotypes,
yes.
A lot of, you know, you're not going to be anything. You're you're not going to finish school. You're just fast. And so dealing with the stigma and the stereotypes was tough, and then trying to balance it out and figure it out and knowing that you're responsible for this human being for the rest of their lives, you know, that was a lot of pressure. And having a child with someone who did not want to go in the same direction that you wanted to go in.
That is the challenge.
Was a huge challenge because he ended up going to prison and I was just kind of left by no choice to do this myself. So that was tough. But I also said, it can't get any tougher. So I decided to just leave and to say, well, you know, there's no way but up from here. So let me just try this out because this is already bad. It was tough because my mother at the time was probably at the height of her alcoholism.
Wow.
And she was way more verbally abusive and emotionally abusive than she had been the majority of my life. And maybe I just didn't notice it because I was younger and it didn't affect me. But when I became a teenager, I saw a lot, and that hurt a lot because I had to deal with that in addition to not having what I needed in the father of my child. And trying to get through high school, trying to figure it all out, trying to have a sense of normalcy, because there were things that were a challenge for me that maybe traditional children who didn't have kids wouldn't be a challenge, like going to homecoming or going to prom.
Right.
Because work was a priority.
Right.
You know, it's like I had to work, and then people, you know, didn't really want to date me because it was like, oh, she has a kid. You know, my mom doesn't want me dating anybody with a kid. So yeah.
You had a lot of challenges.
Very challenging.
But you didn't allow it to stop you from going to school. You didn't allow it to stop you from living and being a mother. And I think that's very commendable. I really do. That was a very tough time that you were growing up in, that era that you were growing up in, the stigmatism. You know, where did you find that inner strength? Where did it come from?
It came from my friends. It came from talking to strangers, like my counselor at school, who linked me with a mentor. And it came from just the faith that I had, because even though there were tough times in my family, they did instill a sense of spirituality and having faith. And that was a big part of my journey, is believing in the things that I can't see. In addition to my mom, I mean, even though we don't have a good relationship, we have a relationship, and that relationship, whether it be poor or healthy or unhealthy, had an impact.
Right.
It definitely showed me what things could be.
Right.
If I didn't do my mental health, if I didn't handle the letdowns, and if I allowed the letdowns to dictate my personality, it showed me what I could do. So for that, I find strength in her. And then, you know, there's a part of me that copes, which I indulge in a lot of fashion and grooming myself and hair and makeup. And my mother was a big part of that as well. So that gave me a little strength to keep going and find something that works for me. So,
you know, what's so outstanding to me about you, Naya, is that you see the good in everything. In every story that you was maybe a negative, there was a positive that you took out of it. And I want the listeners to hear that and to notice that and to take that away. Although there was a negative throughout Naya's journey, she also saw the positive in the relationship with her mother and the relationships that she dealt with. That, for you to have seen that in your young years, that just showed that you was, even in your mind, you was beyond your years. Do you understand? Did you even notice that then?
Not in that way, no.
Wow.
No. I was probably older beyond my years when it came to males. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I thought, but not in that way. Wanting more, yeah. But no, I never really thought I saw the positive in anything until I actually started looking back at my life and was like, oh, yeah, I could have done this, but I did that. So it was like those choices were really subconscious. I didn't notice it until later on in life. But no, I definitely didn't notice that.
Wow.
I didn't see that that way at all. I think probably helped was that I did have a lot of positive people in my life, like people who were doing things differently than me. I was always big on being with people who did not have the life I had or who was not in situations I was in, because that gave me hope.
That gave you hope, and that's what it's about. Why was education so important in your life? You hit some major milestones that are very impressive, and I'm just eager to know, where did you get that from?
I'm big on doing things nobody's done before, mm-hmm. And it's because a lot of people in my family just kept telling me I wasn't going to do it. So I was like, guess what? I'm going to. And then I found that I had a strength in academics and just, I could not go to school for a week and show up and take an exam and pass.
Wow.
And I realized that was a talent. That was a strength. I was like, I got to do something with this. And it was my school counselor that said, you know how smart you are? Like, you are very, very smart. You know, you can do whatever it is you want to do. Do you realize that? And I had to pay attention to that. Like, you know, I do get straight A's effortlessly. Wow. Like, you know, I do, you know, I could like analyze this book effortlessly. I could, you know, so I was like, well, let me do something with that. But when I started sharing it with other people that didn't quite grasp the concept of education, they would shoot it down. Like, no, that's, you know, you don't have to do that. I didn't do it and I'm fine. Or just go and do a trade or go and do this or go and do that. And
I'm glad you didn't listen. I'm glad you didn't listen. That was their insecurity. That was their insecurity because they felt they couldn't do it. I'm glad you listened to your inner strength. I'm glad.
Yeah. And I had a brother who was very instrumental in that. He taught me. I remember him teaching me how to read. Mm-hmm. He passed away when I was 8 and he was 15.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
But he was, oh yeah, that it still bothers me to this day, but I've managed to, I guess, live out his legacy because he was very academically bright. He was in the who's who amongst America's high school students for 1980 and 1989. Mm-hmm. And I remember him telling me, I remember vividly, I was sitting on his lap and he was teaching me how to read. We were reading a book and he was sounding out words with me. And he was like, you are so smart. You are the brain. Don't ever lose that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that meant. He just kept saying, you're the brain, you're the brain. And I just never knew what he meant. And then when I got older, I was like, maybe this is what he meant. Like, you know, with me just being able to take in information and do amazing things with it.
He was trying to tell you your knowledge is your power and don't let it go to waste.
Yes, exactly.
That's what he was telling you. You and I have so much in common. I have a sister that passed away as well, not as young as your brother. And it's so amazing to me that your team reached out to me. And I don't believe anything happens by chance. I really do believe everything happens with energy, with the ethos, with there's some connection, and it's always deeper than we think it is. And I, like I said, I'm really honored that I am able to have this conversation with you, because the more and more that you talk and more I hear your story, the more and more I realize the deep connection that we do have. And more I realize the adversity that you have gone through is what has shaped this amazing journey that you're on and that you've been through. And that leads me to my next question, is how did the power adversity shape your journey? Where did that power come from?
It was getting through circumstances that I just didn't think I could get through. You know, sometimes we'll go through something and it'll be so intense and we'll want to just say, forget it. And I just kept going. And when I got through it, I realized that that's where the power of faith was. And it made me a better person. And it gave me insight that I didn't have before. So I just figured that was the key to it all, was getting through it. Mm. So whenever I was faced with some adversity, I was like, get through this. You can do this. Mm. Process it. Do what you need to do. Surround yourself, write a book, do whatever, but get through it. And that's kind of where my writing came in. I mean, even when it came with bad relationships or breakups, I'm the queen of getting over it.
Wow. Wow.
Like, you know, my heart would be broken, but I knew just from experience that my heart would heal. Mm. So I would just think about the day that my heart would feel better, and I would just count the days. And that's where I came up with my first book, which was the 14-Day Love Diet, where I kind of counted the days that my heart was broken, and I looked, it was like 14 days with me consistently being on a path of just healing. I felt better by the 14th day. And I just kind of wrote up everything that I did each day for that 14th day to make myself feel better. And that's just kind of been the way I heal when it comes to pain. I do not like pain, and I realize that happiness is a choice. So whenever I'm faced with something that's going against me, I definitely get into a shell, build my strength, my circumstances and resources regarding my strength, whether it's praying, being around positive people, getting a new hobby, doing something different. It's what I do and what I master. And before I know it, that adversity has left. So
now that you've shared the inspirations for your books, I want you to be able to tell people where people can find your books, because I think your books are necessary for people to read that are going through adversity.
Oh gosh, yes. They can find my books on my website, and they can find that at www.naya-b.com. And they can also find the books on Amazon, anywhere online books are sold, through the publisher, iUniverse.com. All they have to do is type in Naya B or 94th and Racine, and all things Naya B will come up.
I want to ask you, Naya, who were three people that inspired you in your life and why?
My brother, is one that greatly inspired me. And that's because he kind of gave me a pathway to knowing things about myself that I didn't know, you know, or just encouraging me to be bigger than what I thought I could ever be. He gave me that insight. So I carry him with me spiritually everywhere I go. My mother, she doesn't believe this, and she probably wouldn't believe this, but she definitely inspires me. She's beautiful. She's beautiful. And I find beauty in her pain. And it just kind of gives me a rubric and a tool for how I can do things a little differently. And although she might have been very hurtful, you know, throughout my journey, she's also been very inspiring, and she doesn't even realize that she is.
Amen. Don't we learn from them? Yes, don't we learn definitely. How to be soldiers and to be strong and to be a diversity through them? So that's important. And your third person?
My third person would have to be, and this is a group of people, but my third person would have to be my friends. They inspire me so much with their just unwavering support. And I say that because, you know, I grew up in a time where I could have easily been judged by my actions, my anger, my habits. They never did that. They kind of protected me.
Wow.
You know, there was a time in my life where I was on this path to going to college and doing different things. And I had a friend who was like, I see you trying to give up fighting. I see you trying to do something different. So guess what? I'm going to fight your battles for you. So if somebody bother you, I got you, because I don't want you getting suspended anymore. I don't want you getting, you know, let me handle it. And that's just been, they've always been like that for me, where they've always said, we want you to go and be great. So we got all the other stuff here. You know, let us stay street if you want to go and be, you know, professional or go have your dreams. And it's symbolic in its way, but they are still like that for me. Wow. And I love them dearly.
Wow. I mean, I get it. And this is why stories like this needs to be told, because it takes a tribe. It takes a tribe for us to make it where we are today. And no one can do it alone, you know? What book are you reading this summer? If you are, what book are you reading this summer?
So I'm pretty clinical, so I'm always reading things about how to clinically get myself together. And it's an old school book. It was published in 1985. Mm-hmm. It's called Staying Okay, and it's written by Amy Harris and Thomas Harris. They're a married couple. Thomas is a psychiatrist, and he basically talks about how to stay okay despite those voices or despite those negative energies that, you know, that you come and interact with. Mm. And I really, really love it, because there's this inner voice that, you know, he says that we pick up from youth all the way up until adulthood, whether it's that inner child voice or that inner parent voice that tells us certain things. And we have to figure out how to be okay.
Yes.
In with ourselves and in the space. So I'm always reading something clinical or something psychological. My specialty is sexual abuse and trauma. So most of my clients have had some type of sexual abuse or trauma in their lives. And I protect my energy as well as find different ways to protect their energies by constantly reading things all clinical. So,
what do you do since you are always giving of your mental space, your energy? What do you do to release some of that when you come home from work? How do you calm yourself down? How do you get your release? How do you clear your mind? How do you clear your space?
Wow. Well, believe it or not, writing is definitely a good way for me. I love my blog. If for those of you who have not checked it out, you can do it. It's called The Unexpected, and you can find it at unexpectednayab.com. I like to blog. I like to write. And I like to watch Lifetime movies. Mm. I know it sounds weird, but I love Lifetime. I love to sit there and talk to the TV like I'm sitting there in the midst of the movie. Like, it's that imagination piece.
Yeah.
And knowing that something is scripted, I can kind of get away from for a minute. And online shopping. Like, I just scroll different sites and look at different dresses and clothes. And I just need to give my mind a break for a minute.
Yes.
And to believe it or not, how I go to sleep and how I deal with my anxiety is by thinking of how to put outfits together.
I love it. I love it. I love it. It's real. It's true. It's your story. And I love it. To the young women, to the women listening, to the men listening, to the marriage couples listening, what advice would you give to the people that need words of encouragement, that is facing adversity, that's facing trauma, that is thinking of suicide, that's thinking of maybe losing their job, that's thinking of maybe going through a divorce, that's just facing something? What would you say to them today?
Oh, wow. So many things. But most importantly, I want them to know that there is always an up. You know, they say never, you know, never use the words like always and never, but no, there is always an up. You can always go up from wherever you are, no matter what. And you have to think about the things that are keeping you from progressing, whether it be yourself, your own thoughts, you know, or even if you say other people, there's still something about you that allows other people to keep you stuck, right? So think about how to get out of your own way. Growth is best when you internalize those things, because when you become better, the things around you become better. And don't be afraid to keep going. Don't ever slow down so other people can catch up, because some people are not going to understand your ability to level up. And you have to be okay with that.
That's amazing. That's a great answer. I mean, I couldn't have said it. I mean, that's an amazing answer. I mean, Naya, I find your journey amazing. I'm impressed. Who knows? Maybe we'll fly you here to do a class or something. I love your story. I love your journey. And I love how passionate you are about it. And maybe we can get some of your books over here to my class with my girls. I want you to give the listeners out there all your social media handlers so they can follow you. What are they, Naya?
Follow me at author_Naya_B on Facebook. I'm just there under Naya B. And Twitter is the same as Instagram at author_Naya_B. So yes, please follow me.
I just want to thank Naya for being on our MERS Reflections today. It's been amazing to have her as a co-host. I mean, my voice, I came down with some horrible cold, but it didn't stop us from doing the show today. I mean, Naya, you are an inspiration. I want you guys to follow her. I want you guys to order her books. Please support your Black authors out there. It's really important that we support each other. It's really important that women support women. It's a movement going on, and we need to keep this movement going. Naya, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Much. Thank you. I really, really enjoyed this, and I would love to come back and talk more. Thank you so much.
It's been real.
Yes, it has.
Okay, bye.
Bye.